our topic is Shishim and Phelis. I know that you had the chabur with David Eli. You already started on the topic of No Saint Tom and the issue of mixtures and so forth. And you've seen Sadi Zayin, Sadi Ches in the Gemara. Sadi Bab, Sadi Zayin, I should say. So you know the Gemara that this is coming from in terms of the Kfela, the issue of the chef. Okay. So, yeah, the discussion begins with the fact that the Gemara identifies, on the one hand, No Saint Tam, and on the other hand, Shishim. When we talk about the mixture of either non-kosher taste into a mixture of other food, or when we talk about mixtures of milk and meat, if you take a look at Source Aleph, it's the Brisa from the Gemara of Avodah Zarah. Tanya Kavazet Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish Kol Isurin Shebetara Beba Minan Bein Shalom Minan, all Isurin, whether they're mixed into their own variety or they're mixed into something of a different variety. But no Saint Tom, the rule is that if they infect it with taste, if you can taste the Isur, then this is not then it's not kosher. And then they give you the exceptions, Tevel, Yayin Nesach, whatever. But that's the basic rule. If you can taste the Isur, you have a problem. Right? Familiar? Good. On the other hand, it's not so clear that it's just No Saint Tom, and that's the other Gemara Avodah Zarah that I brought you there, source base. Rabbi Chai Shir B'chala B'chamshin. The case is a sheret, a creepy crawly creature that's not kosher, gets mixed into vinegar. So Rabbi Chai said, if there is a 50-to-1 ratio of vinegar to the sherets, then it's kosher. He didn't require 60-to-1. He felt that vinegar has a strong enough taste that it's going to knock out the taste of the sherets. Rishmuel Breid Ravika says that it's 60-to-1 when the sherets gets into your beer, which is its own discussion about Tom Lufgam and negative tastes also. Do you really want, you know, mice in your beer? But nonetheless, the rule is in fact 1 in 60, and that's the general rule regarding Yisurim that get mixed into food. And that's the Gemara in Avodah Zarah. You also find it in Chulin Sadi Ches, which is where we're gonna have to end up. The Gemara in Chulin, actually, you saw the El Nazir.
Okay.
It's the Gemara in Chulin Sadi Ches Amar Aleph. It goes over onto Sadi Ches Amar Beis, and what it says is, how do you know 60? And it offers us a very interesting example or potential source for it. Yeah, that's a hard Gemara to figure out. Initially, I had brought it on the sheet, and then I said I'm just going to sum it up. But the deal is that when a Nazir brings his karbanos, one of the karbanos he brings is a shlamim. And when you bring a shlamim, the rule is some goes on the mizbeach, some is eaten by the kohanim, and some the owners get to eat. However, they cook the ayil together. They cook the ram, that is the shlamim, as a unit, whether it's cut up first or not cut up first is part of the discussion in the Gemara. And then part of it, the Zroa B'Shela, the leg of it, is going to go on the Mizbeach, or is going to the Kohanim. It's going to the Kohanim, right. It's going to the Kohanim. And then the non-Kohen Nazir is going to eat the rest. But it was cooked with the Zroa that's supposed to go to the Kohen. Weren't you worried about Blia? Weren't you worried about absorption from the leg of the ram in the rest of the carbon? And to make a long story short, we use that to show that the ratio for Bindol is 1 in 60, because the meat, or the meat and the bone of the ram, is 1/60th of everything else. It is nullified within the mixture. Now, Tosos hastens to point out, and I brought it for you here in Source Gimel, that that's not really a good source for the ratio of 1 in 60. How do you know it's not a good source for the ratio of 1 in 60? Well, it is a mixture, because you're going to pull out the actual item, and all that's left is the infection of taste.
There's no difference from that to that.
Right, it's what we call min bimino. Right, we don't use 1 in 60. We do, but the take a look at Tosfos. He writes, umandar b'shishim savar basar atzamos, etc. Lab drasha gemurahi lemelef mina min b'she'eno mino detam ki ikar de'oraisa. He says you can't really deduce from here to say that taste matters if it's min b'she'eno mino as a biblical principle. Dacha min bimino hu, because this is actually a min bimino case. And therefore it's buttable rope. It's not absolutely no Satan Tom. The rule is min bimino, if it's an item with its own kind, so there is no infection of taste. It's actually barov on a d'oraisa level. Ella, rather, Tosfos explains, b'shishim u'meya kabbalah ha'isa b'yadam. The truth of the matter is, the 160th, the 100th, all of these are just a tradition. We know 160th.
So it could have just been less than the majority, and that would be fine.
Hypothetically, yeah.
Is it 49%? Could have been this part that goes to the Kohanim.
Midrash, correct. Correct.
Yeah, you didn't even say it's a midrash. It's Kabbalah. Do you believe that?
Yeah, no. They have a tradition. It's not a Darabana. It's a Kabbalah. This is, I mean, what we're really going to get to here, and it's sort of basic to your understanding of how No St. Tom works, is that 160th is, so to speak, a scientific assessment.
It feels off of Tom.
Well, it's coming from Tom to say, at 160th, we assume taste is gone. And that's part of what we need to discuss today. But the statement is, you know, we sat down, we had a taste test. You know, everybody was offered whatever would be kosher to them in order to do the taste test, and we determined that 160th is the ratio that works. And this is just an asmachta. We're linking it to a case that's in the Torah, but it's not as though this is an actual source. So the question we have to ask is this question of the nature of 160th. Do we say that at 160th or lower as your ratio, there is no taste? Or do we say it means that any taste that's there is insignificant halachically? What's the difference?
It's the reality of someone tastes it.
What if someone tastes it, and there is? In other words, what if the trade is less than 160th, but I can taste it in there? So what are we going to say? Because the Gemara in Chulin Daf Vav says, it's source Dalid, Sha'ani Sa'or V'tablin to the time of it, V'tayma Lo Batil. The Gemara is talking about a different point, but it's saying that the sourdough, the spices that affect something are made to affect the taste, and taste is not batel. Taste is never batel. So the question then is, are we saying that at less than 160th there's no taste? Or are we saying that even if there is, it's not all taste? It's considered to be something insignificant. So Rashi takes the view that it is considered taste. Rashi says, if you have less than 160th and you can taste it, then it's not batal. If you take a look at source, hey, this is Rashi from Chulin Sadiches Bishishim. Rashi writes, when did we say that it's batal Bishishim? Hecha de badakne velo yoyev taima. If we tested it and it didn't have taste. Inami lekalameka mataima. Alternatively, shishim will apply where you're not able to establish whether there's taste or not. You go in min bimino, such as where the item is mixed in with other items of its kind and there's no taste differential. But if we test it, v'yoyim taima, and in fact it does produce taste, la'olam taima lo batil. He says, taste is never batil. Rashi's view is, 160th is just our guess at where taste disappears. Sorry?
Only for when it's not.
Correct. Well, with min bimino, you don't have the option.
Only 160th, that's the reason.
Yeah, because, well, it's all you can work with.
So really, how can you ever taste anything that's not bimino? Then maybe there's a taste there. You can eat it.
Right. So the answer will
even 160th, there might still be a taste there. So
correct.
But to say you can never...
That's exactly where we have to go. That's exactly where we have to go with this. You are right on in terms of the question. So Rashi's view is, less than 160th is considered taste. 160th is just a good ballpark guess. The Re and the Rush and the Rashba say no. At less than 160th is not considered taste. I brought you source Vav from the Rashba in his Taras Abayas Aruch. He says, V'atayna l'shir shishim v'bnei ha'isurin nirgashin v'nitamin v'ta'arov asan ad shehe beheter shishim kinegdan. He says, the idea behind 60 is that the Isser can be sensed and tasted in the mixture until you have a ratio of 160th. At that point, it's not tasteable. Whatever you think you're tasting, you're not tasting. That's the Re, the Rush, the Rashba. And as we're going to see the Rambam and the Shulchan Aruch are going to side with Rashi on this and say, no, taste is actually, taste is significant even at lower than 160. So there are two passages in the Gemara that we now have to see that are going to bring us to the discussion of kfela, of the chef who's tasting your food to see whether it's kosher or not kosher. So we're going to go through one of them. The other one is a smaller discussion on Kuf Yud Aleph on the base, which just mirrors what you see here in Tzadi Vav Tzadi Zayin. Tzadi Vav Tzadi Zayin is the key Gemara. The Mishnah says, Yerech Shin is Basho Ba Gid Anoshe. If you have the thigh of an animal that got cooked, and the Gid Anoshe was inside when you cooked it, Im Yesh Ba Beno Saint Tam Harezo Asura. So if there is enough Gid Anoshe to infect it with taste, then it's going to be Asura. Now there's a whole other discussion about Yesh Ba Gid Beno Saint Tam, whether Gid Anoshe has taste. That's its own discussion. But but right now, we're just assuming, yes, it would, potentially, if it's a large enough portion of the mixture, it'll affect the taste of the mixture. So the Gemara says, Amar Shmuel, Lo Shanu Elash and Isbashel Ba. Shmuel says, the only time you have to worry about the Gid Hanasha this way and say, if it gives taste, then then your food is asur, is if it was cooked in it. When we use the term bishul, we mean cooking in a liquid, as opposed to roasting. Roasting is dry. Aval nitzla ba, but if it was roasted in it, kolei ba'ochelet shemagia l'gid, then you just peel away the meat until you actually get to the gid anasha itself, and you pull out the gid anasha. To which the Gemara says, what are you talking about? Eating. V'amar avuna gidish etzlo bechelbo asur le'achol afilu me'roshos no. Rav Huna says that if you roast a gidi with its fat, right? Chelib is the forbidden fat. You know the difference between chelib and shuman, right? Shuman is the kosher fat. Chelib is the trade fat.
We only know from when we saw it.
Right. Okay, so there you go. That's the best way to find out.
Yeah, that's cool.
So if you roast the gidi, you roast the goat with its chelev, its asur le'achol afilu me'roshos. No, you're not even allowed to eat from the tip of the ear, which is far away from where the chelev is. In other words, roasting does cause the fat to percolate through the entire thing. So what do you mean telling me that I can just peel away, get rid of the gid? To which the Gemara answers, Sha'ani chelev dimifapeyak. His fat is different. Gid anosha's taste is not going to spread the way that the chelev spreads. To which the Gemara says, Ubechelev asur. Really? If the chelev is in it, then it's going to be asur. All things asur. Vama rabba barbarchana. Uvda hava kameh Rabbi Yochanan beknisha dima'on begedisha tzlau bechelbo. There was such a case in front of Rabbi Yochanan where a goat was roasted in its fat. Va'asu shalu ala Rabbi Yochanan. They asked Rabbi Yochanan what to do. Va'amar kolev va'ochel ad shemagil echelbo. And he said, just peel away the meat. And you know, when you get to the chelev, don't eat the chelev. So the Gemara gives three answers. The first answer is, ha'u kachu shava. That was very weak fat. First answer. Okay. Second answer, Rav Huna bar Yehuda amar kulya bechelba havya b'sharya. Rav Huna bar Yehuda says, no. It was the kidney in the fat. And it was mutter. And Rashi explains, I brought it in brackets, because the kidney has a membrane that separates it from the fat, and nothing is going to travel across the membrane. And then the third answer is the one that's relevant for us. Ravan Baravada amar kilchis or kilbis be'ilfas hava. Ravan Baravada says, no, that wasn't the case. It was a fish in a pot. Va'asu shailu al Rabbi Yochanan. And they asked Rabbi Yochanan what to do. Kilbis is a non-kosher fish. Sometimes the Gemara appears as kilbis, sometimes as kilchis. But it's a non-kosher fish. And they asked Rabbi Yochanan what to do. Va'amar lehu lita me'kfela arama'a. And his answer was, go have a non-Jewish chef taste it. And if he tastes it, and there's no taste of the non-kosher fish, you're fine. Clear? Amar Rava, we then use that as a springboard to discuss Kfela. Rava says, Meresh Hava Kakasha Li. Originally, I was bothered by Hadisanya, the following braisa. Kedera Shibisha Babasala Yibasha Ba Chalav. If you have a pot that you used for meat, don't use it for dairy. Vimbisha Benosin Tam. If you did, then it's going to trafe up whatever you have if it gives taste. Truma La Yibasha Ba Chulin. If you used it for truma, don't use it for chulin. Vimbisha Benosin Tam. And again, if you did, and there's enough to affect the taste, it's trade. So he says, Bishlam a truma time la kohen. I know what you mean when you say if it gives taste and you're dealing with a truma case. Go get a kohen. Any kohen in here? Nope. No. Sorry? Leaving. So go get a kohen to taste it. And and that way you'll know. Ella baser b'chalav man time late, but who's going to be the one who's going to taste the meat and the dairy? But now that Rabbi Yochanan says you can rely on the non-Jewish chef, in the case with the kielbis, here too, we can depend on the non-Jewish chef. So the non-Jewish chef is going to taste it and tell us whether it tastes like dairy or not. That's the way to do it, or it tastes like meat or not. Because Rava said, and this is the key closing part of that Gemara, Rava says, there are three different statements of the Rabbanan. One is no same time, see whether it gives taste. One is ask a kfela, they ask a chef. And then sometimes they said 1/60th. Why do we have three different rules? Three different cases. Hilka. Min b'she'eno mino dehet teira. If it's min b'she'eno mino, and therefore you should be able to taste the iser in there. If it's there, you should be able to taste it. But it's not iser, it's heter. Right? Example, the Truma case. So the Kohen can have it. B'tayma, so let someone who's allowed to eat it taste it and be done with it. Or not just that, not only the case of the Truma. Let's say I have a food that was cooked with some dairy, and I would like to have it with meat. So when I am not fleshik, I can taste it myself. I didn't get a Kohen, I didn't get a non-Jew. I taste it myself and see whether I can taste the dairy in it. De'isura, by the way, don't try this in your kitchen. As we'll see, I just want to make sure to say that. It doesn't taste dairy to me. I guess it's okay to have on the burger. The isura pikfela. If the item is asur, then you go to the non-Jewish chef. Umin bimino, and if it's an item in its own kind, the lekala make a matima, where you can't tell the difference in taste. Inami min b'she'eno mino di isura deleka kafela, or min b'she'eno mino, but it's an isur item, and you don't have a non-Jew around to test it. So then b'shishim, then you work with 1/60th. That's the conclusion of the Gemara. Parenthetically, you didn't get into the discussions yet, I think, of zil basar shma or zil basar taima, how we define meaning. Okay, so that's an important discussion. It's all right. We're assuming right now that min is defined by taste, and therefore, if it's the same min, you can't taste the difference. If it's different minim, then you can taste the difference. But the Gemara is going to have a discussion about whether that's true, or whether maybe min is defined by category and not necessarily by taste, by what its name is, so to speak. Right now, we're assuming taste, and that's what we're going to go with in the sukkah. But know that it's not so simple. Okay, so that's our Gemara. And again, there's another Gemara in Kufiyud Aleph. Side note, when it comes to having the kfela tasted, the Bar Yashulchan writes, the Bar Yashulchan is in Tzadiches Dalet, and he's quoting the Prima God, the Mishpata Zav, Tzadiches Beis, that when we talk about the kfela tasting it, he has to chew and swallow it. In other words, it isn't enough to him to look at it and to take a lick of it and say, okay, I can taste it or can't taste it, but it actually means he has to eat it. You know, if he eats the whole thing, then, you know, you lost your purpose there. But that's a point that he makes. In any case, there are a few questions that come out of this Gemara that have practical applications. The first question is the Aruch HaShulchan's question. The Aruch HaShulchan in Sadi Aleph Ches, I don't think I brought it for you on the sheet. No, I did bring it for you on the sheet. He says, I don't understand then why we have all the laws of Kashrus that we actually have. Take a look at Ches. He says, he's dealing with a discussion of Hilah Gavar and Tata Gavar. The question is, if you have meat and dairy, and one is lower and one is on top of the other, the question is, will the one that was poured in from the top affect the one that's below it, or the other way around? Hilah Gavar means the upper one affects the lower. Tata Gavar means the lower one affects the upper one. So he says, I don't know what you're talking about. He says, there are great questions regarding this. First of all, he says, we're going to see in Siman Sadi Ches in Yoredeya that when you have Isser and Heter get mixed together, just have a chef taste it. See whether there is a taste of Isser in the permitted part or not. And so too, fat with meat, kimavur sham. The imkain, mashayach lachgor, tata gavar, we love gavar. So what do you need all these rules for? The lower one, the upper one? Give it to the chef. If he tastes it, it's a problem. If he doesn't taste it, it's not a problem. That's the Aruch HaShulchan's question. This seems like a very easy way to deal with kashrus, right? Yeah.
you touch all of your food anytime you're at a crawl.
You have a neighbor. The neighbor knows what you're eating for dinner every night because you just bring a sample over.
This is tastes like
assuming that this happens every night.
No, but whenever it is that you have an issue, you know, he's here. You have a Shabbos going concept. This is your kosher's going.
Yeah, like, we have someone right across in our building, right across from us, who always, whenever like, we buy something not kosher or whatever, we bring it to her. Like, she always helps us out. Never done this, but maybe we'll do one.
That's an interesting issue. Okay. So the Sierra HaShulchan.
No, I bought when we got married. I never bought anything before I got married. Like, my mom bought everything. So I bought like glasses of orange juice. Whatever.
Oh, boy. Okay. But, I think the rule is every week that I'm doing it anyway, we have a recording of the couple we're going. We're going to find out what's going on. Last time also. Last time was the I and the we, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So but the Aruch HaShulchan gives a few different answers. One answer, he says, is maybe we need rules like Tzatzah Gavar for the case where there's no Kvela. Right? If the neighbor's away on vacation.
Point of Shishim was I thought there's no Kvela.
So why not then use the Shishim? Because Shishim isn't always so easy to apply. One of the reasons why there's an issue with Shishim is that you don't always know the volume of Isser. We're going to get to that mentioned by the Rishonim in a little bit. But let's say you have a piece of meat that you can identify that fell into the dairy and it cooked there for a while. And then you can identify it, so you just pulled it out. But you don't know how much of the meat, the gravy, the juice, whatever it is, ended up in the dairy. So then you can't make a 1/60th calculation.
How would you be able to see
that? So that's right. So theoretically, that was going to be what I was going to do today. Had I given last week, that would have been the topic for today. So we'll have to throw it back into the mix at some point of how do you make 1/60th calculations. The answer basically is l'chumra. You always go with the worst possible scenario. So for example, if you had a fleshik spoon, right, and you used it to stir your dairy stuff, we're going to work with 1/60th of the volume of the spoon. Even though you know full well that the entire spoon was not made of
milk,
you know, dairy, and it didn't dissolve in the thing, you just suck. Like, what are you going to do? So basically, the 1/60th is gauge l'chumra. But the Aruch HaShulchan's first answer is could be there's no kfela. His second answer is could be because we won't believe the kfela to be strict, where halachic reasons say that there is no taste. In other words, the rules of ilah gavar, tata gavar, and so on are meant to provide leniencies. So that if the kfela says that he tastes something, we'll say to him, no, from a halachic perspective, you don't taste anything. We don't care about what you're tasting. It doesn't matter because ilah gavar or whatever. The third reason he gives is because we could say the taste came from the part that you were going to remove, because there's an amount that you had to remove in the mixture, the klipa, whatever it is. That's what he tasted. Oh, I don't trust the conclusion the kfela is giving me. It may not really be true of the whole thing. So that's just in general a point from the Aruch HaShulchan. Second, the Bali HaShulchan makes a comment which I think is worth knowing, and so I brought it here in source tests. Kishiyesh sham goy. Let's say there is a non-Jew there, he's your kfela. Va'omer she'ein bo tam chalev, or chalev, depending on your case. And he says, no, there's no taste. Avagav yad'inan vaday she'ein sham shishim. Even though you know that it's not 1/60th, it's 1/40th. You know that you don't have 60 opposite the Isser. Nonetheless, mutter. That's the psak. In other words, if you can't taste it, it's not there. And we're wary about the 1/60th. That's going to be against the view of Rashi Rambam that we're going to see. But that's the position taken by the Badei HaShulchan. Tom always comes first. Correct.
That's what Rashi said up here.
No, Rashi's the opposite. Rashi believes that if it's less than 1/60th, but you can taste it, it's usur. If it's lower than 1/60th,
it's the same concept. He's saying it's taste.
He's saying it's taste. Oh, no, that's taste that matters.
If it's less
right.
than 1/60th, then you can't taste it, then it should be fine.
Right, right. I guess in that sense.
It's obviously just a mean.
Yes, correct. So here we get into the practical questions. I think those are also practical questions. But is kfela corroboration of 60 or replacement for 60? Is kfela corroboration for 60 meant to support the evidence of the 60. In other words, really 1/60th is mevatel. If it's less than 1/60th, if it's lower than 1/60th in the mixture, it's batel. That's the
or is it the be all and end all?
Right. But the question is, am I using the kfela even though I have 1/60th, less than 1/60th? Or is it meant to be used where I can't calculate the 1/60th? In other words, let me frame that even a little bit differently. Let's say I know that it's lower than 1/60th. I know for a fact, I did my calculations, I know the volume is good, I have enough to be mevatel it. Do I have any obligation to go get a non-Jewish chef to taste it?
The obligation to see if there's time.
Yeah.
Even so.
Even though I already hit the 1/60th mark.
Quite Rashi, yes.
Rashi, yeah.
So that's exactly the question. We're gonna have two different approaches. The first approach is Rashi, who we saw above, as well as the Rambam, and they say it is an obligatory corroboration for 1/60th in case there is taste. Take a look at the Rambam in Source Yud. The Rambam writes, Nimtzei Slamei Shakol Yisurin Shebetara Bein Yisrei Malkos Yisrei Kares Yisrei Hanaya Shnisarbu B'Meichel Meichel Amuter. Any time an Yisrei of any level gets mixed into Heter, Min B'Shein Mino Beno Saint Tom, he says, right? Min Bimino, She Evsher La Modala Tom, Shira Mashishim of a Mayo Masayim. He says, if it's Eno Mino, no Saint Tom. If it's Mino, so you can't tell, then go with 60 or 100 or 200, depending on what the item is. But that's the rule. He says no Saint Tom, and then the rest of it I brought you just for completeness, his third point, but it's not directly relevant for us. But the statement that he makes is Tom is really what you're supposed to go for. And that's consistent with the view that taste at less than 1/60th is still significant. Your goal of the kfela is to catch a subtle taste. And that fits the Gemara that we saw. Go back to Zion for a second, right? We said Rabba's statement at the end, he said, Amur Rabbanim B'tayma, Amur Rabbanim B'kfela. If it's Min B'she'eino Mino, B'tayma. And if it's Yisur, then get a Kfela. And it's only Min B'mino, D'lekala, make a Mataima, when you can't do taste. So then, fine, then do 1/60th. So it really seems to be straightforward. Within this view, Kfela is strict. Right? Kfela is a strict thing. It's required where it's Min B'she'eino Mino, and there's a Kfela available. The Bari HaShulchan says in Tzadik Ches Yud Aleph, that doesn't mean that you're forced to go find the Kfela.
If there's not available, then you can just...
not available, right. You don't have to go knocking on doors. You can just rely on Shishim.
Either way of looking at it is more machmir or more lamekal than the other one. They're both used for both.
Meaning it'll help you if it's at 1/40th. It will provide you a kula in the event that it's not 1/60th and the kfela says I can't taste it. Correct.
Correct.
The second school, though, and this is the school of the Ran and other Rishonim, says no. It's a replacement for 60 where I don't know the amount. The Ran writes in Source Yud Aleph, Umin Bimino Bain de Terra Bain de Isura Shi Efshar Lahavchin Taimo. He says, for Min Bimino, whether Heter or Isur, so you can't tell what the taste is, or Inami Min B'She'eino Mino de Isura Hechadaleka Kfela O B'Kochavim Lemitame, where Min B'She'eino Mino, but you don't have a non-Jew to taste it, Misharim B'Shishim O B'Gemara Arminan. He says, I'll prove it to you from the Gemara. The Gemara says, Gabe Kfela Disamchinan Akfela. The Gemara's language was, we rely on the kfela. So he says, the language of we rely on sounds like it's a kula. It's meant to help you. Shishim is really what you should be using. Where you don't have the ability to gauge shishim, such as the case that I mentioned before, where the item, you have the juice from it leaked in, but you don't know what the amount was. If you don't have the option of using shishim, then we will let you use kfela. That's the idea. But really, shishim is our threshold. And according to the Ran, then, if it is, if it's 1/40th, let's say, and I take it to a kfela, and the kfela says I can't taste it, doesn't matter. 1/60th is king. That's the rule. You follow?
Are they arguing that one matters more than the other, or are they arguing that whether or not 1/60th means Tom?
Well, effectively, you could read that either way. And those two lead you to the same place. If 1/60th equals Tom,
Then once you get under that, it doesn't make a difference.
Then, right, then the kfela at less than 1/60th isn't going to matter.
I guess unless you have a case where it's...
The truth is, though, I think I remember the Ron also saying that if he can taste it, then the food is usur, despite 60. In other words, they're not the same thing within that. That's true. I believe he does say that. So the practical question that emerges is, am I obligated to go get a kvela? Is that really my first stop and not the 1/60th? Call up the rabbi and you ask the rabbi, you know, can I say this is 1/60th? The answer is going to be, go ask your next door neighbor. Right? That's going to, unless you live in Thornhill, where, you know.
Drive out a few minutes.
Right. So, look at the language of the Shulchan Aruch in Yud Beis. The Shulchan Aruch writes, Isser shenisarei beheter, min b'she'eino mino. The Shulchan Aruch writes, if the Isser gets mixed in with the heter and it's eino mino, kigon chelev shenisarei bebasar, like fat that got mixed in with meat, yidam enu nachri, let a non-Jew taste it. V'tzarech shalo yeda shesomchen alav, and he says, the non-Jew can't know that you are relying on him. Right? That's what we call in halacha what? What's the phrase? Messiah lefi tumo.
I was going to ask that before. Like, it's okay.
Right. That's what we're going
also,
that's what we're going next.
Can you ask them, I don't know if we're going to go up with that. I'm saying, what do you ask them? Do you say, can you taste milkiness or what do you taste?
Right. So if you want him to be purely, if it's purely Messiah lefi tumo, which literally means he's speaking innocently, you have to do as little as possible that might lead him.
What do you think are the ingredients?
That type of a question. I think you can lead him a little bit. I think you can say to him, do you taste any milk in here? Without telling him why you're asking.
Yeah, but once... Then you get... You basically get one shot
for both. You heard it once.
Questionnaire full of questions.
You basically get one shot for both.
Well, no, not necessarily, though. If you don't betray your...
Why do you keep asking me if there's milk in here?
Because I want to feed this to my cousin who's lactose intolerant. I don't want him to realize there's milk in it.
So lie to this guy.
Yeah, well, midbar sheker too. What are you worried about? This is kashrus we're talking about.
Doesn't apply to going.
Okay, oh, chasr shalom, don't say that. absolutely not true.
I was kidding.
So the Shulchan Aruch writes in Yud Beis, look at his language. He says, have the non-Jew taste it, and he has to not know that you're relying on him. Vim ein sham ove kochavim latama, and if there's no non-Jew around to taste it, misharinam b'shishim, then we do the 60 thing.
So only as a bit of evidence.
It sounds like the Shulchan Aruch is saying, yeah, it sounds like he's siding with Rashi.
The Ikra Din is the...
Correct. That's what it sounds like, and that's what the Shach says. The Shach in Yud Gimel says, Mashma Dasa Mechaber, Dikshayesham Ove Kochavim Lotama, Lo Sharinan, Ela Yidei Ove Kochavim. He says, if there is somebody who can taste it, that's what you go with. The Yomar Di is Beitam Yisir Osir, and so forth. That's the way that he reads the view of the Shulchan Aruch, matching the Rambam. The Vilna Gaon says, not necessarily. The Beirak who I brought you in source Yadalid says Dibri Shulchan Aruch ain't but Hechreya Shu Kedivri HaGemara the Lokeshach. He says, I'm not so sure. The language could really be just the language taken from the Gemara. He may not be siding with the view of Rashi that you have to go with the Kfela first. And he says, I'll prove it to you. See Simon Kuf, see if Beis, where the Shulchan Aruch discusses another issue involving mixtures, and he doesn't say anything about a Kfela, he just talks about 60. So he says, Lav Davka. So what we have, make sure that we're clear on this before we get to the last point on this in this issue of kfela, is we have a machlokas as to whether the kfela is meant to help me where I can't do shishim, or the kfela is the first stop, and if I don't have kfela options, then I look for shishim. Not gamina, do I have to go out and give this to someone to taste? Or can I just say, 1/60 and I'm done? So the Shulchan Aruch, the truth is, sounds an awful lot like what the Shach is saying. That you have to go get a kfela first.
Isn't that logically what makes
even
sense?
Even in a place where it's...
Well, it depends how you view... It all comes down to depends how you ultimately view what shishim is. Right? Meaning, if you view it as like, this is how we view taste, meaning shishim is, like we said before, it's not going to taste like anything after shishim, then you wouldn't have to go get it. But we're saying that that's just a ballpark that you would theoretically have to go get it.
But I feel like shishim leaves so much more room for error. right? Like, by tasting, it's more like it's either there or it's not.
Yeah, but you don't think tasting leaves you fair? What if he has a cold?
Then ask someone else.
Does it have to be someone reliable? Like, can you just ask anyone, even if you know the guy's...
Right, so that's where we're going now. That's exactly where we're going now. So, one of the things that we have to address here is the question of why we're talking about a kefela at all.
Well, I guess a chef is someone who would know.
So that's the thing. There are three different approaches to why we're asking a chef, as let's say, just ask someone who isn't Jewish. School number one says, and this is the dominant school, uman lo mara nafshe. An uman, a craftsman, somebody with a trade and therefore reputation, doesn't want to look bad. In other words, if he tastes this and says, no, there's no dairy in there, and then you're eating it, you're thinking, boy, that tastes like butter. He's going to look bad, and it could even affect his career. So that's the first approach. This is the approach of Tosos, the Rashba, and the Ran. I brought it in, I brought you Tosos in Tesvav, Samchin Nakfela. Ava Gab, the Obe Kochavim, who, even though he's not Jewish, and therefore you'll say, what does he care about Kashrus? He's not going to be honest with me. Kaven Tkfela Hu, Lo Meshaker, Shlo Yav. Since he's a chef, he won't lie to you. He's worried about his business. So according to this, he can know what it's about. He can know that this is a kashrus issue. It doesn't make a difference.
That might even be better. Like if they know that it's like
something you care about.
If you want to be you care about, then you'll care even more.
Right. Now this is supported. This is supported by the fact that when it came to the Jew doing the tasting, we didn't mention you need an expert. Right? We said if there's truma in the mixture, just go ask a Kohen. We didn't say a Kohen who's a chef. Because the Jew cares about kashrus. What we're doing is saying, if he's a Jew, you can ask a Jew. If he's not Jewish, he has to have some skin in the game. Now, what's a very important point here is brought by the Bar HaShulchan. The Bar HaShulchan says that it's not that we think that he wants to mess you up. It's not that we're thinking that the kefela is a bad person, and he says, those Jews, they think kashrus matters, I'm going to show them, I'm going to make them eat dairy. Rather, it's the opposite. He wants to help you.
He's going to think he's helping.
The Bar HaShulchan figures, I don't know whether I taste this or don't taste this. However, this is what I do know. He's worried, and I don't want him to have to throw the food out. So I just tell him it's fine, I don't taste anything. That's what the Bar HaShulchan presents as the issue. It reminds me of the case. I don't think I mentioned this to you before. You're familiar with the ethicist column in the New York Times? The ethicist was a column, I don't know if it still runs, but it ran every Sunday in the New York Times. People would send in their ethical questions. So a bunch of years ago, this is probably, I don't know, I'm guessing, it's about 10 years ago now, someone wrote into the ethicist with his name and his city where he lives, signed on the letter, saying, my wife's cousins are Jewish, and they're observant of kashrus, and we have certain pots and whatever that we save for when they come, that they can prepare their food in. But by mistake, I took one of the pots and I made something in it. Do I have to tell them? So the ethicist, responds by talking. He said, well, after his discussion of whether it's ethical to do that, you don't believe in this, but they believe in it, and so forth, he says, by the way, you just blew it. Because your name is here, and it's in the New York Times.
Published in, the biggest newspaper.
It's great. I can email it to you. I have it.
So they post on their Facebook. Guys, look up in the New York Times. And the cousin needs to talk.
Yes. P.S. So the Bar HaShulchan says, but that's the mentality. He said, I'm going to help you out.
Is it because of their law says we don't trust them?
On
in terms of tasting.
Right, so that's where we're going. We have to get to this one.
Not because we don't trust them as well as because we're afraid of losing.
We have to get there. Hang on. It's a suffix, but that's where we have to go with it. But that Bar HaShulchan says, and generally wants to help you out. So one school of thought is, the reason we rely on the kefela is because he has a reputation, and therefore, if he's not Jewish, it has to be a kefela. It has to be a chef. School number two is, we want the kefela because he has a better awareness of taste. And that's what Rashi seems to imply in Source Tezayin, Rashi writes, Litame Kfela. He says, Nachtom Ove Kochav, I'm a non-Jewish baker. Vashmeinan the mutter lismo chalav lafitsumo. Below the yush, it's rechamol at various of a heather. Rashi says, you don't tell him why you're asking him the question. And we go to the baker and we can rely on him. So the fact that Rashi says he has to be Messiah lafitsumo, he has to not know, suggests that the reason why we go to the chef is not because he has a career. It was because he has a career, then he wouldn't have to be Messiah Levitumo. The answer is we go to him because he's better at tasting things. And that's consistent with Rashi's view earlier that I care about the taste, even if it's below 160, so I'm going to the chef. And then there's a third school of thought that says, you guys don't know what you're talking about. Take a look at the Rambam. Rambam, source Yed Zayin. V'mhaya basa v'chalav, o yayin nesech, v'yein arla v'kele akev, shnavul edvash, o v'sar shkatz, moramasim, shenizbasha, l'mayer, k'yotze bahen, toim osan, what does he say? Ha'akum.
Just any
non-Jew. It doesn't have to be a kfela at all, writes the Rambam. He says, Nachri. That's it. A non-Jew. Doesn't mention any need either for Messiah Kepetuma. Then why did the Gemara say kfela at all? Maybe because this is the person you go to in general for tastes. But it's not like it's an obligation to go to a chef. So, if I take the first view, the view that it's about his reputation, or if I take the third view, the Rambam's view, I don't care about subtle tastes, which most people can detect. It doesn't matter. Right, average guy. That's number one. Number two.
You're the average guy also.
You won't taste it. What if you're a chef?
Unless you're a chef.
It doesn't matter.
It
matters if there.
We don't consider it significant. It doesn't matter who you are.
They're the judge.
That's what we're saying.
Then what if you would taste it, but he wouldn't?
Once you pick him as your Akum, then he's going to is your Kfela.
But then if
then he's the judge.
And what we're saying is, it doesn't matter if you can taste it or he can taste it. If the reason why you're able to taste it is because you have a refined palate and you can taste things that no one else can taste, and the Rashba says this explicitly in Torah Sabayis Dalet Aleph, it's insignificant. Even though you know it's there.
Same thing as saying if it's already less than Shishim.
Right, it's just a different threshold. Because this is a more difficult gauge.
It's possible, but then you can taste after it.
So what's the entire discussion of different levels of taste? Meaning of different, like, different levels of, like, getting a chef versus getting someone who's going
According to this, that's not why I want the kfela. I want the kfela not because he tastes things better, but because he's a non-Jew, that makes him eligible to taste it. But because I want a kfela because he has a reputation. And according to the first answer and the third answer, right, both the view of the Rambam who says that it doesn't have to be a chef, and the first view that says it's because of his reputation, I can also accept a regular person who's Messiah Kofituma. Right, who doesn't know why I'm asking. As a matter of fact, according to all of them, we can accept a regular person. No, not according to the second, but that needs a better awareness of taste. Then I couldn't. But otherwise, I can accept a regular person who's Messiah Lefitumo. So the Rashba says, ideally, I want you to get an expert who's Messiah Lefitumo. I want you to satisfy both schools on Kfela.
That's the best.
I'm an expert who's Messiah Lefitumo, correct. That's what he would like. The Beis Yosef says
that's very strict.
Correct. Then you're satisfying everybody.
Maybe that would be against the Rambam, right? The Rambam would say,
Is the Rambam not specifically saying
that it shouldn't be a kind of expert?
No, you just say Akum if it be any.
The Shulchan Aruch itself, the Beis Yosef says that the chef need not be Messiah Kofitumo, and he rules in Shulchan Aruch. Take a look back at the language that we saw in Yud Beis. Did he say Kfela? Did the Shulchan Aruch write Kfela at all?
Nachri.
He took the Rambam's view. It isn't about Kfela. It does, though, have to be Messiah. Mashiach to be Tumo. He does have to be not, you know, he has to be unaware of the significance of what he's doing. So let's take this now to the last point, which is the Rama's Lumra. The Rama writes, and I brought it for you before when I brought you the Shulchan Aruch in Yud Beis, the Ein Noagin Lismo Halov De Gilulim. We don't rely on them. We go with 60. Why is that? Why does the Rama say that? So very quickly, the Aruch HaShulchan brings a few different explanations. I brought you two of them here. The first reason in the Aruch HaShulchan, I'm going to say it outside of the Aruch HaShulchan. The first reason is because we follow Rashi where it's less than 60 to not accept the Kfela. And if it's more than 60, then we say we don't require Kfela. He says, there's no purpose. His first explanation is there's no purpose to Kfela. Either you don't have 1/60th, it's 1/40th. And therefore, if the Kfela says, I can't taste it, we're going to follow Rashi to say it doesn't make a difference. You need 1/60th. And he says, if it's more than 60, then I don't need a Kfela. That's one possible explanation for why we don't use a Kfela, is how he's halachically insignificant. Yeah, his answer is, well, no, he's saying on a psak level, the Rama is saying, this is how we pass it.
You don't hold by that.
Because it doesn't make any sense.
Because it doesn't fit, it doesn't fit. Once I adopt these two views, they're different views, once I adopt one view that says that it's 1/60th or bust, and 1/40th won't help you no matter what, and the other view that says, but we're going to be strict, and if it can be tasted even at a lower amount, a lower percentage, we're still going to say it's not kosher. So I'm sorry, not correct. Where I say that you have to have 1/60th, and 1/60th is it, so that if it's at 1/40th, you're no good, and if you're at 1/80th, I don't care what a kfela says. So if we don't need a kfela.
Well, it still helps in a case where you don't know the measurements.
Right, it would still help in a case you didn't know the measurements. And maybe that's why the Aruch HaShulchan goes on to bring a bunch more reasons. But the other reason that I wanted to mention that he brings is simply we don't trust him. Despite everything else, despite what we've said, we don't trust him. The Barei HaShulchan has another approach based on the Levush. Because the Levush says we don't use a kfela, and we don't even use a Jew. Nobody. No one's tasting. Why? So the Barei HaShulchan says, in Source Yates, because we don't really know what we're talking about when it comes to tasting this thing in the first place. Whatever they had in mind for tastes, we don't know what they're talking about. And there's more you can see here, the Kiva Eger, and in Sadi Ches Aleph, and so forth.
What is that? I don't understand what that means.
I don't know what it means to taste dairy in the mixture. I don't know what it means to taste the fat in the mixture.
It's your trained fat.
But is that...
A bugle or a salad or whatever, and they say, can you tell me what I used in this as a spice or whatever it is?
No idea.
Yeah. If it's cinnamon, I'm pretty good.
Sometimes you do have an idea.
Yeah.
Right? Like, it's not unreasonable.
It's not enough.
No, but what he seems to be saying is that it's not that we don't have the palate, it's that we don't understand the criteria with which they...
Right.
Okay.
Well, it's not just that. It's not just that. It's also that Jacob lost something. It's not just that. It's the fact that it's for everybody. In other words, even if you can tell, how do you know that all of us can tell? You're writing in the Shulchan Aruch. You have a certain responsibility to worry about who's reading it. So that's another concern. Two notes on this. Number one, the Shach writes that you won't use the Akum because you don't rely on him, but you would rely on a Yisrael. He says you would rely on a Jew for this, like the Kohen case with the Truma, for example, or the case where I want to see if there's dairy in this before I eat it with meat. He actually does suggest that you could rely on that. That's number one.
That's like the first.
Yes. Or the view in the Aruch HaShulchan that about not trusting the Akum.
Right. And the Aruch HaShulchan just says with the second with Rashi's approach for the Tosfot approach as far as him having his career, you know,
yeah.
Affected, just say still.
Yeah, not good enough. Not good enough. Historically, I think that's probably correct. In other words, down through the centuries, the Jew is running around saying this chef doesn't know what he's talking about. You know, how much business business is he going to lose?
Depends where he lives.
Yeah.
In Thornhill? The guy's done.
That's what I said. Historically, down through the centuries, this guy wasn't worried terribly much about what was going to happen. The OU follows the Chumrah of the Ramah, but they also mention exceptions. I brought it for you at the end. Are there any situations where we can rely on Tehillah in order to permit a food? So the reason for the Chumrah of the Ramah is not clear. Rebelsky said that the Ramah was only machmir when the non-Jew is being asked to detect slight nuances of taste. In such cases, he cannot be relied upon because there isn't a sufficient mirsas. Right? Meaning, as the Baal Shulchan said, mirsas literally means fear of making a mistake. Since he doesn't take this seriously and he thinks he's helping you out by giving you the answer he thinks you want to hear, therefore we're not going to rely on him. Even if the Jew tastes it afterwards and can detect the forbidden taste, the non-Jew can save face by claiming that he missed it. He'll just say, well, yeah, you're right, I made a mistake. That's it.
What happened in that case? Because it was like clearly the Jew tasted it.
He threw it out.
It's not your fault.
Yeah.
Like once you ask, Fela just says it's not there.
So again, it depends on how strongly you taste it.
Is that the stock at this point?
And the answer is it depends on what you're tasting. If what you're tasting is something that really it's unique to you that you're able to taste it and no one else could, then you don't have to worry about it. Right? That was what we ended up saying. He says, if it's a strong flavor, though, in situations where a non-Jew is being asked to determine whether a strong flavor is either present or completely absent, and there is no way for him to save face if he is caught lying, then the Chumrah of the Ramah would not apply, and we could go with a Kfela. So that's one case where he says you could. Then he makes a second point. The Shulchan Aruch said that if an onion was cut with a fleshic knife, we can rely on Tehillas Yisrael to classify the onion as parif. Okay, a Jew, if you had an onion, you cut it with a meat knife, you don't taste any meat on the onion, you can say it's parif. The Shach says we can only rely on the Jew tasting it, Tehillas Yisrael, for a bidyeved situation. For instance, if part of the onion already fell into a pot of milk, so you can taste the remaining piece of onion. A bidyeved case, not a lechatchila case. If I would like to use this onion, let me taste it. That's what he says. And he applies it to commercial kashrus and the issue of recycled steam. One of the things that they do in factories is that they actually recycle the vented steam to cook things. It's like in your car. The car heating system. Where does your car get the hot air that's used to heat the car?
From the car.
From outside the car.
From the engine. Right? From the heat produced by the engine. So what they're doing in the plant is they're taking the steam that's been generated by their cooking and then using it to cook their other food. And the question is, if you have steam generated from dairy, can you use that to cook a pyrrhic kettle? So the OU writes, even if the mashkiach can attest that the condensate return has no dairy flavor, we should not rely on this to label a product parav lechatchila. Because again, lechatchila we don't go with tasting it. However, it will be effective in bidyeved situations. That will be an example where they're willing to rely on it.
Is that why some people have separate salt and pepper shakers?
Well, separate salt and pepper shakers are two reasons, right? One reason is because of the grease on your hands when you use them. Like people who use them while they're cooking or using them at the table. You know, you have your hands in the chicken and then you pick up the salt thing. You know, there's grease on it. So that's one concern. The separate concern is if you held it over the pot and the steam went right into it, that's not even a tasting issue. That's the Zaya discussion. Do you guys do Zaya and Reich Huddle? Okay, so that's coming up. You're going to end up dealing with that also. The issue of whether the vapor from food when you're cooking presents a kashrus problem. That's the question of do I need two ovens? All of that comes out of the discussion about Zaya and Reich Huddle.
So how do we end up reaching what's our conclusion? We end up with basically going by the Ramah.
Yeah.
But before that, what do we say that our conclusion would have been otherwise?
So if you adopt the Shach's reading of the Shulchan Aruch, and I think that there's a lot to be said for it, it sounds like really Shishim is the bidyeved. Really, we care about what it tastes like. No Saint Tom is really the main thing.
So that makes Shishim just
even the Ramah seems to say that. He's just saying we can't use it.
And that makes Shishim is kind of a ballpark guess in regards to this.
Not even a ballpark guess, because we do also suggest, I didn't go into it here, but we do suggest that 1/60th is considered to be like safe. Meaning that their feeling is like, even if this is strong, even still it won't affect the taste at 1/60th.
But it's halakhic, meaning we create it as being a halakhic, kind of the halakhic line we draw.
Yes, correct.
Even though 1 out of 59 probably doesn't taste like a mutant.
Yes, correct. It's just like, that's like when they give you a medicine dose and they say, this is what you should take. The truth of the matter is that if somebody took a little, don't rely on this, but if somebody took a little bit more, they may not be in danger, because you don't draw your line at the line, you draw your line before the danger zone. Don't rely on that for medicine.
I'm not a doctor, for the record.
Yeah. All right.
Thank you.